You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Earlier this year, the closure of a community hospital in the Central Valley made access to health care for tens of thousands, many of whom live in poverty, even further out of reach. Years of financial challenges forced the closure of Madera Community Hospital and its clinics, which serve mostly a rural Latino-majority population, where one in five residents live in poverty or don't have health care. We first learned about this in January, and in the months since, this closure is raising alarm bells across the state regarding the overall financial health of hospitals. And a handful of California hospitals have made their dire financial situations public. In response to this growing crisis that ultimately impacts patient care, lawmakers last week passed a loan program to help struggling hospitals. The plan still needs an approval from Governor Newsom, but even if he signs it, there are still questions surrounding the depth of this crisis, which hospitals will be helped, and long-term solutions. CalMatters reporter Ana Ibarra has been closely following this and joins us with where things stand now. Good morning, Ana. Welcome back to Insight.
Good morning, Vicky.
Ana, you had joined us at the beginning of the year in January. You explained the closure and the impact and the consequences of the closure of Madera Community Hospital. Now we are in May. How has this crisis grown and evolved?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, we are now hearing from more and more hospitals. I'm sort of keeping track, and you know, so far I've heard about seven hospitals that are warning about either reducing services or just being concerned about their financial situation. Just last month, we heard about one other hospital file for bankruptcy out in the city of Montebello in Los Angeles County. So, you know, it's definitely an issue that I think we are hearing more and more about and learning, you know, what this means in terms of services for patients in these areas.
Can you explain what a community hospital is?
Sure. So a community hospital is oftentimes is the only hospital in that community or even in a county, as was the case of Madera Community Hospital. And they often serve low-income patients, often in rural areas, and patients that are covered largely by government-sponsored programs like Medi-Cal and Medicare.
As you noted in your reporting, this closure of Madera Community Hospital at the beginning of the year left roughly 160,000 people without an emergency room within a reasonable distance. I believe when we talked, they had to drive further to Fresno to access an emergency room. Are you able to give us an update on how the Central Valley community is doing?
Yes. So, you know, we've heard some really tragic stories since January. People who have died in transit to a hospital that is farther away. And of course, we don't know how exactly that would have played out differently, but we do know that in a case of emergency, really every second does matter. We are hearing about people missing critical appointments because they just couldn't get transportation to these other facilities out of their county. And I know sometimes for people, it may sound like 30 minutes, you know, may not be a big deal, you know, to get to a medical appointment. But keep in mind that, you know, for many people, especially those living in the county seat, the city of Madera, this hospital was a maybe 5 to 8 minute drive. And now if you have to travel 30 to 40 minutes and you don't have a car, that means you're probably relying on someone else to take time off work and give you a ride. So things do start to get pretty complicated for some of these patients.
And the reason why we're talking about this now, months later, is because this isn't an isolated issue. Other hospitals, community hospitals specifically, are saying like, hey, we're in a similar financial situation. Things are not looking good. You know, what is happening? What are the root causes that is compromising the financial health of these hospitals?
Right. So a combination of things, the big one being many of these hospitals are having a hard time recovering from responding to the pandemic. We know that some of these hospitals weren't doing too great even before COVID-19. And then during the pandemic, they were asked to, you know, quickly ramp up their staffing, equipment, resources. And although hospitals did get federal COVID relief money for this, those dollars have expired. And some of the hospitals I talked to, you know, mentioned that some of these increased expenses have continued, especially when it comes to labor. As you'll recall, many hospitals had to bring on contract labor And because of workforce shortages, some of these hospitals had to keep contract staff longer than they expected.
And that's expensive.
That is expensive, yes. And, you know, some of these hospitals we featured in our reporting are independent hospitals, like these community hospitals you're mentioning. So that means they don't have that financial backing or a large health system that could, you know, help them out or help them get out of this financial hole they're in.
I remember that it was very difficult to quantify how many hospitals were struggling. You literally were like scouring, you and another reporter were kind of like scouring the state, and you were able to give us some examples. Do you have a better idea of maybe a percentage or a general number of how many hospitals are in this situation?
Yeah, so hospitals that I've talked to or heard from, like I mentioned, you know, are about seven, but we do know, at least from the hospital association, that they are estimating about 20% of hospitals in the state are in trouble. I think the seven that I've talked to are maybe some of the more severe cases. But yes, like you said, the hospitals that we know of are those that are speaking out publicly. You know, I've learned that not all hospitals will do that right away, because, you know, once you kind of put this announcement out there that you're in trouble, you know, that could lead to things like your workers trying to find other jobs and your patients potentially looking for other places to go prematurely.
Yeah, I mean, this all has ripple effects. I mean, say if that projection of 20%, one in five hospitals in the state happens to close or gets really limited. I mean, these patients still need to go somewhere, right? So then that can actually be a financial burden or even a logistical burden to hospitals that are still standing, and that can compromise their financial health as well.
Totally. And that's one of the things we heard of after the closure of Madera Community Hospital. You know, I think the County of Fresno actually put out an emergency notice because they were worried about, you know, having to see most of that patient load from Madera. And, you know, that would, of course, strain their services and their finances as well. Mm-hmm.
So now that we have a solution that state lawmakers have come up with, there is AB 112, that's a loan program to provide a financial lifeline for struggling hospitals. I mean, it still needs to be signed by the governor. But if this actually crosses the finish line, what will this accomplish?
Yes. So this is pretty much these are interest-free loans, you know, that have to be paid back within 6 years, although there's a chance for loan forgiveness. You know, the idea is to distribute these loans to hospitals that are either at risk of closure or have closed, but have a concrete plan on how to reopen. And that means that if Madera Community Hospital can come up with a plan on how to reopen and be sustainable, they may be eligible for this loan. Of course, the state departments still have to come up with the exact criteria of how a hospital will qualify and exactly how much that will get. What we do know is that when hospitals apply, they will have to show that they actually do need this loan and that they have, again, a plan to stay afloat.
So is there a potential that Madera Community Hospital, which has shuttered, that it may get a lifeline financially and be able to reopen its doors?
Yeah. So when this bill was first introduced, it actually was introduced by Assemblymember Esmeralda Soria, whose area includes Madera Community Hospital. And she specifically introduced a bill that would apply to Madera Community Hospital, even though it had closed. This bill is now turned into, you know, a budget trailer bill. And but the idea is that this could still help a closed hospital. Now, I think the issue here, the question is, you know, how much would Madera Community Hospital qualify for? You know, this program is $150 million for all hospitals that apply. So, you know, we do have some estimates from the county that in order to reopen Madera's hospital, they would need about more than $50 million. So, of course, that money wouldn't come just from this pot or this loan. But, you know, it could be. It does raise the question of, you know, how much would the hospital qualify for and, you know, how much of a help it would be.
This also comes as the state is facing a projected deficit. Our own CAP Radio politics reporter, Nicole Nixon, reported that the state could be facing an even larger deficit than the state already projected, that more than $22 billion shortfall. It can be higher than that amount. So what impact could that have on any short or long-term solutions to this crisis if we're talking about handing out interest-free loans to struggling hospitals?
Yes. So the $150 million, that is what the Department of Finance said that they could afford at this time. The legislators and hospitals have both said and recognized this loan program as really a stopgap measure. The hospital association, what they want is, or what they're asking for, is $1.5 billion in the upcoming budget. And it also wants the state to raise Medi-Cal rates, right? With the argument being that, you know, Medi-Cal, which covers low-income people, underpays hospitals, and that reimbursement doesn't cover the cost of care. Now, those are sort of some of the longer-term ideas or solutions. I think those are the sort of proposals that are could be really a difficult that are a difficult request during this time of a projected budget deficit, and that's one of the things we'll be looking for in this in Friday's budget revise, is if any more funding is afforded to hospitals.
Yeah. Has the governor given any indication leading up to the May revise that he will sign this loan program?
I haven't heard anything directly from the governor, but this budget bill, it sort of did come, like I said, from some legislators, but also with input from the administration. So I think the idea is that he is likely to sign this. But again, this is probably just one part, a small part of probably a bigger bigger solution or a bigger of more help that is to come.
Yeah, one tool in the toolbox, right?
Exactly.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. We've been speaking with CalMatters reporter Ana Ibarra about a potential loan program that could provide financial lifelines to struggling hospitals in California that are endangered of closing. I know that you're a reporter for CalMatters, which means you focus on all things California, but is California alone in this issue when it comes to the financial hardships of hospitals, or is this part of a larger trend happening?
This is definitely part of a larger trend. We are hearing, from what I'm reading, in other states facing similar issues. We know that the American Hospital Association has also, put out warnings about this, about what's going on in different states. Yes, I wouldn't say California is alone in this, but it's I think after the pandemic, we're definitely hearing more and more about these situations, again, especially for smaller and independent hospitals.
You also mentioned that some hospitals may be reluctant to actually publicly disclose that they're going through financial hardships, right? Because staff can leave, patients can go elsewhere. So does that mean that the state doesn't really have a complete picture of what this looks like and how bad it potentially is?
Yeah, so one of the things that was raised in some of the legislative discussions and that I've, haven't been able to find in my reporting either is, I was asking if there was some sort of official state analysis that looked at sort of the state of hospitals across across California. And I couldn't really find any, a lot of the information that we have is coming, is self-reported from hospitals. And, some of the analysis that the California Hospital Association is doing. But I think it's one of the questions that the state has had a hard time answering is, this question about how many hospitals are in need and how many would likely apply to this program. Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about the issues of hospitals and also the impact on patient care, but there's also an important piece of this, and it's hospital staff, right? And they've gone through really the thick of it in the past 3 years. Do you have an idea of the state of hospital staff, nurses, doctors, and other staff, and how they're doing currently?
Yeah, so in talking to some hospitals, that is one of the first things they'll bring up is their concerns on staffing. I've read from some hospitals that are either reducing services or cutting departments. We know that some of the, for example, you know, we hear about closures of labor and delivery services. And, you know, it's not just about costs. It's also about them not having the workforce necessary to keep some of these services open. So, you know, it's still, from what I'm hearing, it's still very much an issue.
Are hospitals or organizations that would be directly impacted from this loan program, which is a zero interest loan, are they encouraged by this piece of legislation? What is the response from hospitals about this potential solution?
Yeah, the response, what I heard after the passage of the bill was, you know, positive. You know, some of these smaller hospitals even put out comments after this saying that they were glad to hear about this. But then again, they still are seeking longer term solutions. And very much this is considered, I think, a short term fix. So, you know, while they're glad that this is happening, they are definitely looking for more help.
Right. It's like a stopgap in funding because that loan has to be paid back and they're already financially struggling. What are there conversations actually taking place when it comes to long-term solutions? What is a long-term solution for financial sustainability? What does that look like at hospitals?
Yeah. So one of the proposals that I have been following is from is a bill by Senator Caballero. And, you know, she's proposing that the state use the revenue from a tax on health insurance, which is commonly known as the MCO tax. She wants this money to be used to boost Medi-Cal reimbursement for providers, including hospitals. And the idea there is that if you better pay hospitals that primarily serve Medi-Cal patients, these hospitals would be in better shape and patients wouldn't have to worry about losing access to care. So that's one of the proposals that I'll be watching. And of course, you know, whether I'll also be watching whether there's, like I said, any more significant funding down the line proposed or included in the budget.
Yeah, there certainly are a lot of legs to this for you to follow. You mentioned that you know of seven other hospitals in the state who've publicly shared their concerning financial situations. And these are hospitals that are located from one end of the state to the other, from Imperial County down on the California, Baja California border to Los Angeles, the Central Coast, all the way up to Humboldt County. I mean, at the heart of this are patients. What are the real life consequences for the people of these largely rural communities if the worst happens and these community hospitals ultimately close?
Yeah, so you're right. Yeah, the impact is felt by patients, you know, they who would not only lose a local hospital, but, you know, often lose some of the affiliated clinics that come with those hospitals. So, for example, one thing that I think often gets forgotten is that when Madera lost its hospital, it also lost three clinics that are sort of, they were, you know, a big hub for primary care in that community. And of course, you know, we've talked about the importance of timing when it comes to emergency care. Having to travel farther for care, you know, means delays. It means people potentially skipping some care that they can. You know, it means traveling farther to deliver a baby. You know, and if you're, let's say you're someone who's admitted to the hospital, you know, your family now has to travel farther to visit you. So there, you know, all sorts of impacts that I think we could see in these communities if they were, you know, if more of these communities really start to lose their local hospitals.
Yeah. And hospitals touch every single life. I mean, you know, we're going to be at one at some point and some people go regularly. For listeners that are taking this all in, what do you want them to take away from this conversation?
Yeah, I think, you know, I hope that, you know, nobody ever wants to be in a hospital, but I do think it's, you know, important to kind of take a look at, you know, start really look at the your options around for you, you know, kind of maybe be informed of what's going on in your local hospital, you know, get I don't necessarily think it's, you know, a reason to panic for all people, but it's, I think for people in rural areas, maybe it is, you know, important to sort of have a know or be informed of what's going on in your local hospital. And maybe even have a plan for, you know, what happens if you're located in one of these areas where your hospital is in trouble. So I think just kind of, you know, keeping in an ear on having a plan for yourself.
Anna, thank you so much for the time and your reporting.
Thanks so much, Vicky.
Anna Ibarra is a CalMatters reporter sharing her reporting on a loan program aimed at preventing the closure of some community hospitals in the state. Still ahead, the UC Davis Science Cafe stops by to share how they are providing a space in the community to learn about the endless avenues of science. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.